One of the hallmarks of the writings of the Apostle Paul was his staunch defence of the doctrine of salvation and all that it entailed. And as you read through many of his letters, you will see that Paul is writing to defend the truth of God in salvation. There had been those who had come in, false teachers. They had come in and they had invaded the churches, and they were establishing their own set of principles. They were preaching their own gospel, but it was not the gospel of saving grace. And so again here it is the case as we come to this book of Hebrews. The Apostle Paul, who we believe to be the writer, is defending the truth of how any man, any woman, any boy or girl can ever be saved. He does that by setting forth the superiority of Christ, how that Christ is above the law, how that Christ is superior to all the sacrifices that were going on in the temple, and how that Christ was superior to all the priests who administered those various sacrifices. And when we come to chapter 7 in particular, we see again that Paul has been setting the record straight. He's setting forth the preeminence of Christ, and particularly so as the great high priest of our salvation. And then he comes to chapter 7 and the verse 25, the words of our text for tonight. And he concludes and he sums up all that he has been saying on this matter by the use of the word wherefore. He has been setting forth the various arguments, and now he comes and sums it all up. Because in this verse he, in a nutshell, details the issues pertaining to salvation. He details the completeness and the fullness of the gospel. He addresses the matter here and he lays it before the people. And if you're here without the Savior tonight and you know nothing of God's salvation in your life and in your heart, well, in these words in verse 25, we have the gospel. We have the fullness of salvation. Therefore, as we come to verse 25, I want us to consider tonight a complete salvation. A complete salvation as we see it here in this verse. The first thing I want you to see about this complete salvation is the person who acquired it. The apostle uses that little pronoun there, he, to refer to the one to whom he is speaking about. And this he does because he's referring back to verse 22, where Paul there in that verse speaks of the Lord Jesus Christ as being made a surety or a guarantee of a better testament. And again then in verse 24 he speaks about this man. Again the reference is to the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore when he comes to verse 25 he is also and still speaking about the Son of God, the Savior. He is the one who acquired this complete salvation whom, or what Paul goes on then to describe. He is the one who is able to save sinners. Paul has been saying in this chapter that religion couldn't do it. All the old priests couldn't do it. All the law couldn't do it. We read that in verse 19. The law made nothing perfect. Even though they were adhering to every strict rule and every strict detail of the law, but that was not enough to save them. It is in Christ and in Christ alone that salvation is found. You see, the Jews, they loved their ceremony. They loved their rituals. They loved their legal rites and their practices, yet none of these things could save. And so many today, even in our own society, oh, they love the trappings of religion. They love all the clerical garb and all that goes along with traditional religion, we might say, or established religion. And that's where they put their faith in for salvation. You ask people today, what are you depending on to get you to heaven? The first thing they'll say to you, my church. But that's not enough. And you know, it could even be that there's someone here tonight, and what you're depending on to get you into heaven is your church. Or you're attending to this church, a faithful gospel preaching, Bible believing church, and you believe that that'll be enough. Your attendance here will be sufficient, but it won't be enough. Because only Christ can save. Only Christ can save. And that is why the entire canon of Scripture speaks of Christ. From Genesis right through to Revelation, the Old Testament, the New Testament, it's all filled with Christ. Why? Because only Christ can save. We were considering briefly this morning in the Bible class about the law and how that the psalmist wanted to behold wondrous things out of the law. And how that the law, the books of Moses, they're not just a mere history book. They're not just a chronicle of God's dealings with the children of Israel. In those books we can see Christ. And in every book, every page, every verse, it's all pointing ultimately to Christ because He is the only Savior of sinners. He is the only one qualified to save sinners. If you're here without Christ tonight, it's Him that you need. It's not this church. It's not the sacraments of this church. It's Christ. He acquired salvation for us. He is qualified to save. Why is that? Let me suggest to you some reasons as to why Christ is qualified, the only one who can save your soul. There is His unique personality. We read in Scripture that there is one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. You see, because of our sin, we were separated from God. Sin always separates man from God. But the Lord Jesus Christ came down in human form and took upon Himself our flesh, the God-man, and became our mediator in order to bring us to God. He was truly God and yet He was truly man. He had a perfect representation on both sides. On the two opposing sides. And yet he was perfectly qualified then to bring the two opposing sides together. Because of that unique personality. When the Son of God became the Son of Man in the Incarnation. In order to bring us to God. In order to bridge that gap between God and man. We come to God tonight, therefore, through Christ. Because of who He is. He Himself said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He is the mediator. He is the one who will bring you to God. He is the one who will save your soul. There was not only His unique personality that qualifies Him as the only Savior of sinners, but there's also His sinless life. You see, every high priest of the Old Covenant, and indeed every reprobate priest ever since, they were all born with this sinful nature. Every man, every priest included in this born in sin. Oh, and the Old Testament priests, they had to offer up sacrifices first for their own sins before they could offer sacrifices for the sins of others. But Christ was sinless. Look at verse 26. For such an high priest became us. There's again the reference to the incarnation. He became us. Who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners. You see, if Christ had sinned, then he could never be the only Savior of sinners. Rather, he would have come under the same curse and the same condemnation as others. Oh, he required no mediator because he was without sin. It wasn't possible for the Lord Jesus Christ to sin. And this too makes him suitably qualified and only Savior of sinners. There's also then his vicarious death. Because as the only Savior of sinners, he gave his life as a substitute for sinful wretches such as we. He bore the sin of his people in his own body on the cross. And during those hours of darkness, God lifted that rod of divine wrath and there at Calvary's cross placed it upon his lovely Son. Son of God, counted amongst the transgressors, he was separated from God the Father. And in agonies and groanings, he cries out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And as God veiled the world in blackness, as the Lord Jesus Christ was made sin, legally made sin, and he perfectly met every requirement of the law, he paid the price for sin in his death. And he cried out, finished. There at Calvary's cross, redemption's plan was completed. And there remaineth now no more sacrifice for sin. In verse 27, we read that he did this once. He offered himself for as one sacrifice for sin forever. That's why the Mass is such a blasphemy. When a man will stand up and offer Christ as another substitute, no, Christ made one sacrifice, and that was sufficient. And that is why tonight we point you to him. That is why Peter cried out on the great day of Pentecost, neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. That is why John in the wilderness, when he was speaking about the Lord Jesus Christ and the salvation that he offered, and seeing the Lord himself coming, he cries out, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. That is tonight why we point you to him. He died. He made one sacrifice for sin forever and sat down. Why? Because his work was finished. And therefore tonight, sinner, you need no other argument. You need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died, and that he died for me. This is what you need tonight. He is what you need tonight. It's not a church. It's not the trappings of religion. It's not your good life. It's Christ. And it's Christ alone. He is the one who acquired this salvation. Furthermore, I want you to see in this verse the procedure that attains to this complete salvation. God has provided for us such a great salvation through the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Is it a blanket salvation for all? Does this mean that everybody is saved? Well, look at what the verse says. Wherefore, verse 25, he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God. If you're ever going to be saved, if you're ever going to be right before God, then you must come. You must come. You must realize that Christ and Christ alone can save you. You must accept that his death and that his sacrifice for sin is sufficient. And by coming to him, you're placing your faith and your trust in him alone. What does it mean to come? That's one of the wonderful words in the gospel. But what does it mean to come to Christ? Well, it means to, first of all, leave your sin. It means to turn from your sin. It means to repent of your sin, to be sorry for your sin, to turn your back on your sin. And then furthermore, it means to believe. It means to trust Christ. It means that I cannot come to God any other way but through Christ. Faith and repentance. That's what's entailed in coming to Christ. And this is a message that the world may scoff at. You tell people tonight that they need to be saved, that they need to leave their sin. Well, they'll laugh at you. And you preach on the necessity of repentance as detailed in the Word of God. They'll say, well, that's how I did it. No, it's not. Because the message of Scripture is still the same. The message that the Lord Himself said over there in Luke's Gospel, the chapter 13, and repeated twice, verses 3 and 5, He says, I tell you nay. Listen. I tell you nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. You see, if you're not willing to turn from your sin, if you're not willing to leave your sin, if you're not willing to trust Christ, then the Bible clearly says you'll perish. And yet so many tonight will not come to God through Him. They want to get to heaven their own way. They want to work out their own salvation. Oh, people will say to you, well, I'm going to heaven my way. You can go your way. But I'm going this way, and sure we'll all get there in the end. No, you won't. You don't come to God through Christ, then you don't come to God at all. If you're not willing to leave your sin, if you're not willing to trust Christ, then you'll never see heaven. You won't come. Whatever it is tonight that's holding you back from coming to Christ, can I urge you in God's name, let go of it. Whatever it is that's keeping you back from being saved, let go of it. Is it worth it? You stand before God in the day of judgment. And you stand there still in your sin. And you think of that thing that was holding you back from Christ, I tell you, it'd not be worth it then. You hear those awful words, depart. Whatever it is tonight, let go of it and get to Christ. Come on to me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. The Lord Himself says, you will not come to me that you might have life. Maybe you tonight think, well, I've got life to the very full. Life's going fine for me, and I don't need Christ to come and upset my life. My friend, you don't know life. If you haven't got Jesus Christ within your heart, then you don't know the meaning of life. He says, I am come that you might have life, and that you might have it more abundantly. Oh, praise God, tonight there's life worth the living found in Jesus Christ. Oh, there's a peace. There's a joy, there's a happiness you never thought were possible. Will you come to Christ? Will you leave your sin? Will you trust Christ? Will you do it now? You've heard this message so often before. And you think, I'll hear it again. Will you? We've been reminded over this past weekend of just how brief life really is. A young man out on Friday night down in Newton Stewart, making his way home or whatever, never saw it. Cut off, killed in a car accident. You guarantee tomorrow? No, you're not. Are you guaranteed that you'll have another time? Guaranteed that you'll have another opportunity where you'll come to this church and you'll hear your need to be saved? No. today. Today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. Come to Christ and be saved. The procedure that attains it. But I want you to see as well here the power that accompanies it. Able to save to the uttermost. Able to save to the uttermost. The use of that word able there is very significant. It's where we get our English word dynamite from. It speaks of a power, it speaks of a transformation. To explode the old life of sin and to remove every trace of sin and to extinguish all the parts of the old nature. All this Jesus Christ can do. This is the power of the gospel tonight. None but Jesus, the hymn writer said, can do helpless sinners good. Tonight he stands willing and able to save you if you would but come. Tonight he's able to change your life from the outside in. He goes to the problem heart and he changes the heart. And then when the heart is changed, then the rest will fall into place. You see, religion tonight can only transform a man morally. Can only transform the outer. But only Christ can get to the heart. Really do a work of salvation in your life. There are so many people and so many systems of religion. They're willing to save. But they're not able to save. Only Christ is willing and able to save. Oh, do not doubt the power of God tonight to save your soul. Perhaps tonight you think you have lived too long in sin. You have rejected the Lord Jesus Christ too often. You've gone too far down to and in sin. And you think Christ can't save you. Oh, praise God, he can. He can. He can turn your life around tonight. If you will but come, if you will but trust him, his ability to save, there's also the extent of his salvation. We see it there in that word, uttermost. Uttermost. It means entirely, it means wholly, it means perfectly. And praise God tonight when a God saves a sinner, he saves them completely. He saves them wholly. Not just for a period of time. You're not just saved for a wee time to see how you get on. And then you'll be lost. No, you come to Jesus Christ tonight. He'll save you for time and he'll save you for eternity. I give unto them eternal life. They shall never perish. Never perish. You can walk out of this door, the doors of this church tonight, with an assurance in your heart. You're going your way to heaven. That's the change Christ makes in the life. He saves from all the sins of the past. Saves from the sins of the present, the sins of the future. He gives an uttermost salvation. And when God saves a sinner, there's not one of them lost. He saves to the uttermost. Maybe you've tried everything else. Maybe you've tried to work it out yourself. Maybe you've tried religion. You've tried good living. You've tried the church. Yeah, you maybe even have tried the world. And there's still a longing in your heart. Why? Because only Christ can wholly satisfy you. Therefore, I urge you tonight, try Christ. And he is not a disappointment. Not a disappointment. As we close tonight, the last thing I want you to see about this complete salvation is not only the person, the Lord Jesus Christ, not only the procedure to come, and the power The Lord's able to save to the uttermost, but see here the premise that affirms this salvation. At the end of verse 25, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Here's the underlying statement of fact that affirms this complete salvation. What is it? That Jesus Christ tonight is alive. We talked about the death of Christ. How that on Calvary's cross he died in order to bear away your sin. The death of Christ is one aspect of salvation. Praise God, tonight he is not on the cross. He's not in the tomb. He's at the Father's right hand in glory, living. And that's what affirms our salvation tonight. Tonight you can trust him. I don't offer to you tonight a dead Savior who cannot save. I offer to you tonight a risen and living and exalted Christ. Every other leader of world religions tonight, where are they? Where's every pope tonight? And where one day this current pope, whichever one, will soon be as well? They're in their grave. Where's Charles Russell tonight, the founder of the Jehovah's Witnesses? He's in his grave. Where is Muhammad tonight, the founder of Islam? He's in his grave. Where's Joseph Smith, founder of that world religion of Mormons? Where is he? He's in his grave. Where's Christ tonight? He's on the throne, living, living. Died once. Made one sacrifice tonight. And because he lives, then you can live also. Praise God, tonight we serve a risen Savior. One who's worth serving. One you can trust. Oh, my friend, tonight if I were speaking to you about the religions of this world, which change their views day and daily, if I were offering you tonight a gospel offered by the Free Presbyterian Church, I could tell you, you could forget about it. I'm offering you tonight a gospel that's offered in Christ. Not in a church, but in Christ, a living Savior. And you can trust him tonight. He's living. He ever liveth, but look at the end of the verse, he ever prays to make intercession for them. You see, you come to Jesus Christ. You trust him tonight for salvation. You give your life over to him tonight. You'll have one in the heaven that continually prays for you. And yes, the old devil will come and remind you of the sins of the past and seek to trip you up. The Lord Jesus Christ prays and he presents us faultless before his Father in heaven. Jude said at the end of his little epistle, "Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding great joy." You come to Christ tonight. You trust him and him alone for salvation. He'll give you eternal life. You'll never be in hell. One day when this life is over, you'll be with him in heaven forever, evermore. What a wonderful, what a complete salvation tonight is offered in the gospel. Found alone in the Lord Jesus Christ. Sinless, spotless Lamb of God who gave his life on Calvary's cross. But you must come. You must leave your sin. You must trust Christ tonight. And when you do that, he has the power to change your life, transform your life. All because Christ lives. He's alive tonight, ruling and reigning. And tonight you can trust Him. He's able to save to the uttermost all that come unto God by Him. Will you come? Will you come tonight? I pray God will give you the grace so to do, and so to do it now. Let's bow in a word of prayer. If God has been dealing with you and you're challenged about the things of God, then I pray tonight that you would make that need known. Whatever you do tonight, make sure you're saved. Don't go out into another week without Christ. Don't put off this matter of salvation anymore. Come and come now. And He'll save you, and He'll save you gladly. If we can help you, speak to us. If you know someone else in the meeting that's saved, speak to them. Even in the very seat where you sit, you can ask Christ into your heart to save you. And if you've done that, then make that known to us. Tell others. And God will bless you for that. Heavenly Father, we thank Thee, O Lord, tonight for the completeness of salvation. We thank Thee, O Lord, for the fullness of it. Lord, we praise Thee tonight that it's a salvation found and found alone in Christ. And O Lord, we pray that tonight You'll help sinners to come. Help them to leave their sin. Help them, and Lord, give them the gifts of faith and repentance to come to Thee. And Lord, we thank Thee tonight for that power of God that changes and transforms lives. Praise Thee, Lord, tonight that the blood of Jesus Christ is still as powerful tonight as it's ever been. Therefore, Lord, we pray that tonight sinners will come to the cross and leave their burden of sin down and know full assurance of salvation. We pray, Lord, You'll write Thy word upon hearts. For Jesus' sake we pray. Amen.